Mrs. Margaret Ford, 4136 Federal Hill Road, Brooksville. This is June 18, 1980. Okay. Are you ready? Well, what would you like to tell me a little bit about your family?
Well, my mother and father were married in St. Elmo, Tennessee, which is a suburb of Chattanooga. But his health wasn't too good, and he had come from Pennsylvania, and he thought maybe he would feel better up here. So they came up here in the fall of 1898, I think it was. And that was a year, so I think they called it the year the visit was 1898. Of course, my mother thought that was about a thing. I said, well, it's my father, how the hell is it? That's how it was. I'm up to that. No, somebody much smaller and so forth. But when they first came up here, they lived on the farm. Next to where we live now, just around the corner here. Yeah. And everything in this neighborhood was Calder. Calder lived in this house. I lived in the where my father had bought. That was Bud Calder. And then over the further on Mount Hill Road, where the Mohawk lived now, that was Frank Calder. And we had Calder up here. We had a store up here where the slave later was. Of course, after the Calder's left, he had to the slave slowly took over the neighborhood. And we had slaves in all the farms around after that. Out slaved, and this lady out of slaved, and Mr. Dinner slaved, real slaved. The neighborhood really changed. And up here we had, all these houses on these three places that were all built, everything by the same people. I'm not sure here. I don't think the Calder's there. But they're all on the same plan. Where I was brought up in this house and then the other, we call it the brick house up here. And at the brick house, Mr. Frank Cavell lived there and had a wheelwright shop in the corner of the yard, which of course now is completely gone. And here we had two, shop, one a wheelwright and one a blacksmith. They still had a blacksmith. They wanted to put the road through, they tore down their own wheelwright shop. And this part of the road was doing the wheelwright himself. So maybe they got in trouble up here, they called on him to come up and make wheels for the wagon. Because that was a key. You had to have a wheel of expertise to make good wagons in the farm wagon. But they had metal. What did you call it? Metal rims to run on at that time. And Federal Hill, we had what they call Federal Hill there. Now Federal Hill is up here at the other house. It's the same house up here. That is the place of it. And we've often wondered where they got the name Federal Hill. Mr. Smith, who lived in the same house when we were cutting, said that if you put your ear to the ground, you would hear the guns that went off at Bayside. You would hear the rumble. And I asked Mr. Martin Wright when he was looking up all the things about how the town of why I don't know if it's Hill, but he didn't know either. And must be someplace they didn't find out, but no one's ever so far done. But they had the little building up there for the post office and also the house, several times we've been a school there. And my husband's father said that there was another school just up here before we got to their corner of the Mount Hill Road. I had never seen it, never saw any remains of it or anything, but at least, of course, I lived here many years ago. When we get close from here to here, the road is nothing but a dirt road out here. I'm terrible. Mother, in the spring of the year, you can hardly get through. In fact, down here by Gummel, the my brother went to Randolph Macon College and was playing basketball and just pushed it and turned around and looked around and looked at Macon too. So they put a tremendous curse on me. I expected they would get the pound and send him home. My father had to meet him, and we had, at that time, we had still had bad roads, but we did have an old Ford car. And they went through, they could even go through, but I don't hear grandma say that the potholes were put feet coming in. And my father was very proud of the fact that he was the one who got the road from the paved from Gasville up here to the corner. I was trying to study his stuff, he got. He was county commissioner for, I'm not sure how many times, but for 13 years, and he was still county commissioner when he died. And then he later got the road from the corner up here, that's Mount Hill Road, down as far as Mr. Will State, or where Moha is dead now. And it's a shame, but the sort of play attacks there, and people to go through there, and the mud was so terrible, the good stuff my brother had to go up there with the horses, or later a tractor, and help over everybody else. Poor man, it was. And I said, my father got it paid, and we really had some people on the other end, but he traveled all the time, it felt that he traveled and didn't approve of it at all, although they used it all. So it always happened, I guess. Another thing my father got was the first telephone that worked in this country. In those days, the telephone company had planned that the farmers would go check the poles in front of them. But they would came up and same wire, put the telephone down. Well, that worked pretty well, and except my father had to collect the bills all the time. And some people paid, and was always the case, some of them weren't sure to get it paid. But they married, and everybody thought that was a wonderful thing, of course, at that time, which it was. We didn't have any attitude to clean our roads off. And straight them like we do today, we think we're, if we see go down the road right behind the smoke line, we're fine, but nobody cleaned the roads, and the milk had to go to Forest Hill to the train. So most of the farmers had big sleds. My father was a farmer, and I guess most of the farmers had made their own sleds and their horses, and they'd start out in the corner up here, and of course they'd collect farmers as they went along, and they'd have a whole string of farmers, all of them going to Forest Hill, and I think they had a great good time doing it. After the road got too filled up with snow, they couldn't go through, because they went in the field. That didn't stop them, and then detour. I don't think they had fences along the road, not like they did today. Of course, we walked to school. We walked a mile and a half and found a just next farm down here. We went to Bethlehem, they called it. So Tom got back. So you know who Tom got back was or not, but he bought the corner where the old two-room Bethlehem school stood on. And we went there to the 8th grade, and then we had to go to Gasville. Only 3 miles or 3 and a half to Gasville, but you had to board to reach the girls. I mean, my brothers, when they got old enough to go to high school, I rode horseback, I think. And of course, in those schools, I mean, we had no furnaces. We had a potholes stove, and I imagine the teacher had to drink the fire, and I also keep the school clean. Water, we had a tin bucket and a tin cup. And of course, the other guy liked it down to ground brush to carry a bucket of water up. And I don't, probably wasn't paying for it, but I guess it didn't seem to end anybody. The mail that we had in those days was a case in the rock. And of course, the man came and the horse and buggy. And Mr. Blaine was the one most of the time we remembered. So the same boy who lived near a horse park. They used to say that he'd just pay the festival when they had all the Here's my book, and then the words are mine. So he said, it's so loud, I'm in the church, and I don't know that it's true, and I maybe they just told that person. Just later, when they're trying to close the last post office, after that, they knew we got here at Battle Hill, and we had to get there before until they closed it and put us all with gas on. Everybody was very self-sufficient in those days. I mean, you didn't just go and buy all the things that you do today, and all the farmers raised hogs, and we killed 4 or 5 every year. My father always did that on the first week in December, because by that time he felt like it was cold enough to, with the meat to keep. Of course, they made their own sausages and our own lard, and fried our sausages down so that we couldn't stop and put it in the oven until the goose would cover it. And that would keep all winter, and then we'd slice it out. It wasn't completely cooked. Then we'd turn it and dry it. Tenderloin, we didn't have pork chops. We'd turn and pick the strip of meat along that now you call pork chops, and there was no bone in it, of course. And we sliced that and turned it. Also, our beef, we'd have a quarter of beef out on the back porch, and you'd go out and get what you wanted all, nearly all winter. I don't know, it doesn't look like it was cheap now, but it seemed to be those days, and part of that was here. Made apple butter. And made 30 and 40 gallons of apple butter. I don't, that sounds strange, it's since we eat all that apple butter, but first we had the colors to help to feed for 3 meals a day, and we had to be food for that. We raised chickens, and everybody had their own chickens and eggs and made butter. My mother was a city girl, of course, but she got into all that, and she raised, in fact, she raised more chickens than most of the people around her. She raised 300 or 400 every year, and we did that by setting the hens. I mean, you didn't buy the chicks, you just set your own eggs and hatch them. We had all these little cooks sitting around the yard, or not in the yard around the house, but close to the house. Suddenly, the children would come up and lay in front of everybody, wondering who'd get the chickens in. My mother kept a lot of times, we had a granary in the barn that she put her chickens in, and they stayed there for a good while. One day she missed a lot of chickens and didn't know what happened to them, and long nose of rat had been catching them, and they just piled up chickens under boards and things. You wouldn't believe they would do it, but they really did kill chickens for them. They made their own bread, went took a week to the mill and had it dried, and then later I think my mother would buy some kid bread, but Pillsbury would buy the Pillsbury and mix it. And then, of course, she fell over and made a little butter bread. Made her own roof. We had a hop flying out in the backyard. And she and Mrs. Butler, Mrs. John Butler, who was Mrs. Helen Wilmot, one of the school teacher's mothers, they lived neighbors to us. And my mother would make roof one time, and then she and Mrs. Butler would divide, and then Mrs. Butler would make it the next time. And they all made good bread. If you got sick, it wasn't so good. I had a tonsillitis when I was like 11 years old. Of course, you couldn't go to the hospital, and so the doctors came out from Baltimore, and he and I operated on the dining room table. In fact, there were several people out here, and it was Tipton, John Tipton's sister was another one. Nora Ward. But I did maybe Nora Ward in front of him. They did get into the train at White Hall or someplace, and they went into the hospital. Nowadays, you operate down, you get out of bed the next day. I remember they didn't let me walk a step for 8 weeks. And I remember how sore my feet were, because you just, well, you just came so you couldn't walk from it, and not being honest. Farmers' work was very different, too. They said, when they go out to plant corn, I'd be on the rice, but I'd be on the plant to smoke your corn and So they might tell how much in one day. And in those days, they had to use horses, and they had to work up the ground to perfection, and they took the, what they call markers, and they would all mark out in rows, and then checkered, and you went out and got that corn to hay. And then if you had too much in each place, they'd go through and finish after it. And of course, the corn had to be cut, and chopped, and husked, and very different from this day and time. Then there's wheat. You see, they had binders, and the horses, and I took two people out of binder to grow it, and took the wheat, and then it was chopped, and chopped, and that was something that they had to know how to do, because it was chopped so that the rain would run off, and it wouldn't hurt. Then they got bigger, and they hauled that all into the barn, and stuck it in the mouth in the barn. And then later you had to have all this child of men to come in and sell. And that was a job. You had all these, the women had all these men to feed. And they maybe be 8 or 10 or 15 men when they had started. They'd get a good dinner for them. My mother laughed one time, she had, first she had them for breakfast, at least the men they were taking in with the machines, and she had 4 or 5 men, and she tried a big pile of eggs for them. And the first man she had it, she gave the table, just took his fork and took her egg off the plate right on his plate. And so she had to get bigger and buy more eggs. And also, I was the same way the fowlers when most people came around there. I know Mrs. Isaac said there would be no fowler on her plate, because she wasn't about to feed the men that had to come and fill fowler. Of course, they didn't have a family, it was the two of them. And if you went shopping, if you wanted to go to Balmer, you had to start. Of course, here you had to go on the train to get to Balmer. Here we went to the rock with just a gas bill, and one of my sister-in-laws, they went to Baldwin to get on the station. And you'd have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and go with horses down to Baldwin and get on the train. But one morning, my sister-in-law's mother and her older sister, they rushed down there and died, first got on the train, drove to go to Baldwin, and looked down, and they kind of had on one good shoe. And then every day she went. And the daughter said, well, mother said, what are we going to do? The sheriff says, what are we going to do? He said, we are going to Baldwin and stop him. That's what we're going to do. And I remember we'd finish your picnic. Sometimes we'd go to Goodyear Park, and that was a trip. And my father had a carriage and a couple of horses, of course. We'd go out to Baldwin and put the horses in the stable. It was Mr. Conway who, I don't know, I guess he was station master there at Baldwin at that time. And my father knew where he took the horse in the barn now. In fact, he put it there. We came back, of course, it was dark again. Got as far as the top of Baldwin Hill. My father looked out and said, you know, said, that's not old farms in there. And during the day, Mr. Conway had taken our horse and put it where his horse was. And that's where the users worked with them. So we tried to carry that around the clear back to Baldwin. Of course, it was much close to go there. Went to Garfield, and that was close. And twice a day, we went morning and night, and I say, now we're here. And the trip that was, the horses to go to Garfield, took time. And it was dark, we had no light, and my mother was always scared to death. At night, at least, for the horses and so forth. I don't know whether there's anything else we can remember how we did, but very different from what we were there today. And we often say, we wonder how the young people, we know how to get along and how to do things and how to make things and stuff. The younger people, we sort of feel like they're the power of it. I don't know if the daughter will remember that later.
Now, you said you went to Western Maryland?
Yes. There were three other congeners who went to Western Maryland. I saw him in the Louise Kitchen and Sarah Cook. And that was something else that was different. I say, of course, we had to go in China, fly to him, go to Balmer, drive our suitcases from the Maryland, Pennsylvania station over to the Western Maryland. And the suitcase we could have, we could have the Lagan. It took almost all day to go from here to Western. And what we, I think we paid about, I don't know, $350 a year, about that, I think. But everybody knew everybody, the school was small, you knew your teachers, and we really enjoyed that. And I graduated in education in our school in North Carolina. Then I taught 4 years at Jackson. Of course, when I was married, and in those days, they didn't want any married teachers. And of course, I was on farm, and members took four, and you couldn't go with teachers. I mean, you had nobody to take the place at home. Jackson was good in Holloway, he's one of our classmates. He called every once in a while. Retired at least, finally was a bishop, he was bishop called him. And he was president of college and also president of the seminary while he was in. Same year again. And we had been going to the Grange for a good many years, probably 50 years, I imagine. So we dropped out of the Grange at one time in the sitting room. And then went back in, so I guess all together we've been there 50 years.
And how did you meet your husband?
Well, actually, he lived on the next farm, although we remember when we grew up, we didn't, we're not staying together. He was out of school before I got there, got the high school, I mean. And then he went to a different church, he went to Kiptown. And we went to Jericho, and until we were grown, I mean, we just never stayed together. But we finally, we met at a, I guess it was a church festival of some kind, and we had down at Mr. John Taylor, who lived almost to Jericho, and I don't know who lived there now, but he had a blacksmith shop there at that time. And he had invited my husband down there, and then he took me home from that, and he got on, I guess. We weren't married for several years after that, because I went on college after that, and he'd gone to business college, and we were just getting over the neighbors, we were not so too familiar with each other, so.
What was Jericho like? What do you remember about Jericho? What kind of town was it back then?
Well, it was very different too. Now, they had the store. The light was red, buttered, and board. Mr. Harry Ward was there. And Mr. Will Dead, now Mr. Dead, was Dr. Dead's father, you see. And there were still Jericho who lived in Jericho. My sister-in-law was Lucille Taylor, and her father had the tombstone place there in Jericho, and her mother was a judge. And of course, the judge was the next house up, her grandparents. And we had there's an old hotel down there now where the Jericho Fire Company is. And for a good many years, that was where the Tennessee telephone had been exchanged. And this man, Mary German, who still lived there in the high school in Jackson, of course, was pretty old now, she was up in the 80s. But she was one of the main ones in the exchange. And we had a country doctor who lived just there, not far from the old Dr. Bible. And he'd go in and out day and night. And never said much whether he got paid or whether he didn't, but he really was a good doctor.
Let's see, who lived in the Jack Manor?
That was Mr. and Mrs. Charlie Amos. Not back when we were growing up, and their daughter was Mrs. Tom Stone. And she was the one, the last one, that owned it. And then she left it to her nephew, Jack Amos. And he died just as a young man. And so then it went to his sister. And her name was Sue. But it was such an expense there, and they just couldn't afford to keep it up. I mean, you know, they could afford to send it, and the modern things to it, but it just, everybody was just killed when they tore it down. And I think that the gardens are in such shape. Well, it was pretty quick, but it was really good, and I could have done it earlier, wouldn't it? The people had stole the copper pipe out of the furnace, and I think they sold the circular stairway out of it, and all sorts of things.
Did you enjoy teaching at Jacksonville?
Yes, I did. I taught history in English, and I was still quite friends with all the students that we had. That this Saturday night we're going to have a dinner with the Red Fox in Bel Air. I forget the car, I think they were 21, I think, from 1921. I forget how many cars there would be up in the cities out there. They're all going to meet there. So that's just the alumni from the Jacksonville High School. And the school that I taught was burned down the same night that they were supposed to go into the new school they built in Jacksonville. And then they said, "Hey, bought that ground, and that's where he built. And that's where the building association and the fire company, see, all that the school was going."
Did you have much travel through Jacksonville? You had people coming through on the way to go somewhere else?
Not too much, I don't think. I mean, you see, people had no way to travel. They were working better. I wonder if they did, the farmers would send wagon loads of their traders to Baldwin. They'd have four horses here, with a team and a wagon, and then they'd load it up with all sorts of farm products. And my father had a car there, and he said he used to send to Baldwin. And sat down the road here where the Marshalls were the last people who found it. They just made this development, and that was a stopping place for the wagons that used to go through. And the barn, they say, has an extra stone floor in it that they could run those wagons or teams in that barn. And the house down here, you can still see that. They have a big sunbase up in the front of it, which is, they call it some kind of a cabin. I don't know the name of it, but I think they had other places along the road where you could stop, you know, if you had to overnight.
So it was so hard, the work was so hard on the farm. What did people do for enjoyment?
Well, what the things they did were simple, but they had all kinds of things to do. I think, and I say in at home, I mean, you did more reading, and you had to make your own entertainment. You didn't have our televisions and radios and things, and we studied and read by oral learning. Nobody thought it was a hardship to cook them. We would have picnics. One day they had here in this community every year, was a trip town at the William Morton Church. They had what they called a reunion, and that's the first week in August. So the whole wood would be full of horses. And the people would come, just to see each other a lot. I guess they still had desire when they were there too. But this one day, they sort of all the Sunday schools would get together. There were 8 churches on that surface at that time. So there was the Farfield and William Waters, and Ashbury and Gasville, Vernon, McKendree, Starship up here, Stone Grove. There were 8 of them all together on that circuit, and all those Sunday schools would get together, and they'd have a parade, and of course they had all kinds of things to sell, the ice cream, and they'd have a fair school, and different things like that they'd been in. It kind of like a little fair. But I still remember when the first automobile appeared on the scene. Well, the horses just turned the onion. I mean, the horses were all trying to break loose. And at that time, if you drove out on the road, you were so afraid you'd need an automobile, you didn't know what to do. You didn't know what the horse would do. So they found it up used to it and they thought of it.
Do you remember who had the first car around here?
No, but I know the first thing that Oliver rode in was a car at Tamat. He worked for Mr. Ranger, a judge, and of course he had Mr. Ranger at a store. And Charlie would bring this truck around, I guess, to get out of the store. And he'd just drive his leg with him from around up to the motor sometime. But the last is, when I was going to Western Rome, that is some of the first cars that around here when I was about the year we graduated. And this was a kitchen down here graduated. I don't afford a car with the curtains on and off. And I, my mother followed Thomas. And they invited my parents to go with them to Western Manor. Well, they got Mr. Kitchen wasn't young, of course, and wasn't too familiar with running a car. I'd never done it. But the same day when they went to Balmer, which you had to do in those days to get to Westminster. Went to Balmer and they got along, they got out there all right. And well, when the time came to leave in the evening, I don't know what he did, but evidently he must have put on the vest and stayed in the bike, and he ran into the foundation of the building and dumped the radius out on it. And he couldn't steer a Ford car without radius out there. So he took it down to Westminster, and that was staying there. And that worked all right, they got the bomber. But they got that car on the car track, and they couldn't get it off. Imagine the car. Well, first thing you know, they had 3 cars lined up behind them, and they finally, the people on the street car had to get out and lift that car off of their front for them to get off of them. Then they got the team on the bowler and the team coming up left side of here, and then he was only up the back with the same wall up there, someplace up left side. He ran my chance to bank and upset. My father ran around and he got out his knife. He was going to cut the curtain to get my mother out there. And he said, oh, don't cut it. There's a fair car. There's a car. You didn't know anything to happen to it. But they didn't hurt it, by the way. So they got it up right again. The kitchen had people in the school school. The kitchen had sisters up there. So he said, well, they always so much they owed him another ride. Well, my mother said she really didn't ever want him on a ride. She thought she had enough, but they did one day. They started out to the school camp at the same time. And after years, the cars were up here. They were going down and there was a creek with the tracks, and then there's a long hill before you get to Nashville. Well, then they get halfway up that hill and the thing stopped, and they'd run out of gas. So somebody had to get out and walk all the way up the hill to a farm up there, and they got a boy on a mule and send him into Nashville to get gas for them. But they always asked over this ship they had. Nobody was hurt, but they really had a fun out of it. The cars made quite a change. My father and I were there. It's the first time he got a car that had glass in it. So it worked right too. It wasn't some caterpillar glass like we have today. because if you were anything happening, you could really get touched. So he didn't need ever that much for toys for much too long.
You were speaking about the reunion. Were there quite a lot of Methodists up here?
Oh yes, there were a lot of Methodists, yes. But you see, that was more than Methodists. And we went to the Calvary Church in Brazil, which was Southern Methodists. And of course, Wesley Mellon was the Methodist Protestant. Later, all three of them joined, in one church. United Methodist Church. And the preachers, I say people, I think enjoyed the preacher who was, would be a trip down, who'd made a go to Fountain Grove where he'd come by, and he'd call somebody, of course they had to drive all that way, and then he'd maybe stop down with my husband's people and have dinner, and go on. But they enjoyed that, they got to know them well that way. And our preacher had Joseph and Sunnybrook. And he had to drive over there every Sunday afternoon to preach, and then he'd come back to Joseph and preach again at night.
You know, you've always had the farm, but when did you get into the store?
About people had a tanning house. In fact, they started on a very small scale, just a little bit of tanning. And then they built a tanning house. And in those days, you see the gasoline that they would have to run some of their soldering machines to put the tops on the can. That had to come from Baltimore in a big glass container. And they seemed like a great big bottle, and they'd have to go to the rocks to pick that up and bring it up here to the canning house. And they turned and then my husband's brother did it, but then we built a canning house up here and we canned for some time, we canned tomatoes and corn. But then things changed, and I forget how many canning houses there were here in Market County at that time. I knew a lot of them. Karen Street over here had a canning house, but the Sawsville, they were the same. And I'm sorry, that wasn't a canning house, that was a hot food, chicken house. But there were a lot of canning houses too. Then we got in to have some chickens, and we had a lot of chickens. We used to have a size 65 cakes of eggs a week. And of course, that was a lot of work, and we had a lot of good enterprises. We did that for a good while. And I forget how many houses we had around here. Mr. Cooper, and ourselves, and Karen Street, and this little town where that was a house. And now I don't know where I am. And it's all gone. We went to Harvard Chickens. They're almost different than them. I still sell baby chicks to them. They were the most ahead of them.
Well,
they
were the ones
in fact, the building my son had in the store, now that was a hot food, didn't it? I think they built that in 1945, I think. Then we were in Dallas for some good years. They had a store there in Boston.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
Third eggs, chicken, and food, and we really enjoy it. Still have people come up here from Dallas, buy plants, and we still get plants and same Pennsylvania Dutch food in the house.
So, do you remember much about, say, the war and what effects it had on your life?
First and second. Well, my son, of course, was in the second. He's down here now, and he goes to Davidsonville. So you definitely have to do them when you're sick. Well, I don't know. Yeah, it was very fortunate.
Do you remember the person?
Yes, my husband always talked about the person I saw. He always talked about one man who came to me. They were counting at the time, and he came down to Mr. Ford. It's the only thing you can get me to do. So they were finding him. Several children said, we just don't have a penny. I don't have anything to eat to buy food. And I said, what can you do? Well, I said, I'll cut wood. And he said he'd cut three. He would cut three cords in half and then tie it up for $5. Just doing $5. But I said, the son took it, was really bad. Of course, out here on the farm, we had all the most of your living. I mean, we had cows and we took nuts for the farm, we had gardens, and we did everything pretty much like we wanted, kind of. If you were in town, there was that place where you didn't have all that, but maybe it wasn't the case.
Well, did you say whether your father bought this farm?
My father bought the farm, yes. The first one was my house, my whole brother. And my husband's father, they lived this way, they all just came out to the stuff. And then my husband's father bought, well, this was really free farm. They bought here on this side of the road. And then they bought the book houses up here, that's the place. And then they later bought, what was I not saying? We had a bunch of water. Okay. Came up here from St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because her people were. My mother had died, and they were willing to come after that attack, but there was no communication except to write a letter. Or if you wanted to go there, you had to go on the train back and forth. Now, there's Aunt Marsh and Tom Sue. And I was staying for about a week, and I had two friends, and they bought a farm down there. And they called the tractors home every week. And they get in the car, and they come, she comes up here, stay with the crew. And they were down there. That's quite a difference.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm. What about prohibition? Do you remember prohibition around here?
Yes, I guess so. Most of them have to hear it, and more than anything else, because we stay out here in the, not in our time, but we have a spring on out here in the back of the field, and always in. As long as we've known, they call the still spring. Nobody's ever heard of it in our time, but I suppose that must have been where the name came from. Because that was always called the still spring. Yeah, but still. But I'm sure that there were stills around some of these lakes and so forth. In fact, just across here, they had the police were going to put them on our way. I don't know what his name was, but some man named Wingo was in it, and I believe he was the one that got killed, I'm not sure.
Did your family teach you how to make it to all the different things like the apple butter and
Oh yes, we did. I've done that all my life, and even as we came up here, we eat it, made apple butter and did all those things. And I still make things like chicken and stuff. I don't buy much prepared stuff like that. I mean, it's from stores. I mean, there's still a lot of things we buy, but ask where my bird and do all the training and draw a knife on me and all that kind of thing.
So now there used to be a house of trainers. Was that close by here?
Yeah, that was not too far. That was on the Cremer Road over here, beyond the Madonna Road. And also there was a Cremer Road between here and an old Fellow Hill Road. I was McLaren Spencer. And he made the ice cream. And I think a lot of the farmers at one time sold cream to him. And then we had the Cremer Road Jazz Band. Well, that was Jim over her house, that's the Cremer. And you see, they remodeled it and then I got it.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it sounded like that because they could have all the milk to bring back and get the kids.
What was it like riding on the train?
Well, I guess it wasn't quite like it is today. It wasn't too bad. I mean, I never liked to ride in the train. They seem like the smell of that, I guess it's hot coal smoke. They always say it made me sick.
Mm-hmm. Was it very scenic going down to Baltimore?
Well, yes, it was country, I mean, of course, and it was quite nice to ride. It was, I remember it was perfect. It was job that people would have to go in the train, and it took so much time, and so the train was slow, and I remember how we used to come to West Warren. I mean, they'd have big buses up at the school, they'd take all the children to the station there in West Warren, and everybody would pile on the train, and but you have to go, you just couldn't go, there wasn't any road, I mean, to go from West Warren over here, that's where it's today.
Well, you said you boarded it, yes, yeah. And how did they do that?
I boarded it, this sister-in-law's grandmother, she married my brother, so I was sick. Yes, she had to go on the board, and whenever we came in, and of course, my father would come out with it. And a lot of the people had to ride the horses, my husband did that, and I don't think he was going back to 7 days. I should have been going 12 or 13 when he, because he had to go to take his sister, and they would drive a bug up and they'd pick up the horse. It took 12 miles. They had a mile up there to get the horses in. They didn't have any bikes in Jackson. You go to Bel Air, that was an all day job. All day trip to go to Bel Air back. It was amazing how long it would take for the horse to go.
What was Bel Air like? What do you remember about Bel Air?
Well, first, Bel Air was everyone was nice to it. And it was on Saturday night, there was like a crowd coming up that Main Street. I mean, everybody, but that's all right. I mean, it was really a lot of place. We had I guess it's where my boardman is. That was sort of a, I think that's where it was, sort of a hotel. Like, the tickets go, they had a upstairs porch, you could sit out there. I mean, like, I go with my father, and then go out there with all the waiting room, you could sit out on the porch out there. And they had good stores. They had the Calvin Tyson, it was a good, dry goods store. They had very good stores. And this time it got away. It's so different. I used to see it there. Well, there was a tree room like it was, because it was, you know, the Richardson's, the farms, so they had a, I don't know what they called it, that's the back where they had it all fixed up where you could go in, and that's kind of an ice cream place. They had tables, and then you could walk in, had ice cream, and yeah, I think that's a good time.